All right, there I am, fully here now. This morning I was looking at the opening collect, and it just kind of hit me as a really profound collect for us. Collect is just a word for a gathering prayer, like collecting, you know, gathering us together. So it's that very first prayer that Father Steve prayed, that Lord, would we trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ. I was thinking about that reality this week, especially. I think it was this past week. I was commiserating with a friend on the phone. Something happened. I don't know if you guys were feeling it at all, but in the last week, we had the full moon going, and I am sure that it was affecting a lot of people. I felt like there were a lot of human beings out there just howling at the moon. It just, everything seemed to be so off kilter, and people's lives were, I mean, people who were struggling, they were struggling big time in that moment. And they were hurting. And I even had one of my pastors who is in the Wisconsin network of pastors. He had a seizure out of the blue. And there's no reason for it. They did the MRIs and everything, and he had a seizure. And I had other friends who were just struggling. The picture I got was like, they're trying to grasp hold of life as if you could grasp water, and it's just going through their fingers. And it's just, it's distressing, it's upsetting, because we want life, of course, and yet when we try and grasp it, it goes out, and then it's suffering that we feel, and it's painful that we feel that way. And so we grasp even harder, trying to confide in our own strength like we just prayed. That's this pride thing just kicks into gear, doesn't it? And but on the other hand, then, there's this blessing if we're willing to be weak, if we're willing actually to be vulnerable, if we're willing actually to stop pretending that we can make it through our own strength and our own thoughts and wisdom or whatever, through our own heart. And there's something that happens when we get to that place. The guy that I was talking to, this is my friend, he's in recovery work, and we talk about this as getting, you know, bottoming out, like just coming to the end of yourself. Like you've been grasping so hard. Oh, it doesn't work though, does it? It just leaves you howling at the moon, miserable and hurting and suffering in a way that doesn't seem to lead to anything else. And yet, if we make our boast in the mercy of Jesus, a strength comes, strength, a redeeming strength, a saving strength happens. Our mission here at Light of Christ is our kickoff Sunday. So I'm always thinking about our mission whenever we get to Light of Christ's kickoff Sunday. It's this very first Sunday of the school year. We think of ministry years in the same way we think about school years. And our mission is that we would reflect the light of Christ's love, hope, and healing in this Kenosha and surrounding area of southeast Wisconsin. That we would reflect the light of Christ's love, hope, and healing. And I've thought that one of the most important things that we can do if we want to be reflecting his love, the light of his love, is to first let it really shine into our hearts. First, let his light really penetrate into our hearts. First, let go of the things we're grasping, right? So that we can let it come into even the palms of our hands. Let our hearts open up from the things that we're trying to grasp, that we can have him fill them. That's the first thing that we can do, is let the light of his love just begin to minister to our hearts, that we would almost receive like a heart-to-heart transfusion. In fact, that's one of the themes that I'm thinking of for our year, and now you're going to hear this more and more, is this is a year where I feel like, people of God, let's live our lives in such a way that we live them heart-to-heart with Jesus. Nothing separating us, nothing standing in the way of his light coming into our lives. Nothing, letting nothing get in the way. And if there is anything, removing it. And then staying connected and open, wide open, hungry, thirsty for his love. That you would know yourself beloved, heart to heart, coming into him and being with him who is so with us. The thing is, we're not with him, and we're really not with ourselves. So how do we do that is the question. It's the answer, but how do we do it is the question in a way that I want to ask. And I'll use mostly Paul's passage from Romans this morning to look at that. Let me start with a little bit of a story, because I think it helps me to unpack a little bit what I mean when I'm saying, come heart to heart, come close, come to Jesus. Let his love begin to penetrate your heart. A few years ago, actually it's quite a while now, there's a movie called Good Will Hunting. It's a pretty intense movie. I don't necessarily recommend it for kids. There's some language, it's rough. But it's a movie really about healing. It's a young man played by Matt Damon who's been the victim of abuse, physical, really brutal abuse by an alcoholic father. And it's brutalized his heart. And he's as a result, had to become pretty tough, pretty hard. And even really takes pride in that as a result. He's brilliant. He has a mind that, even at a very young age, can solve really difficult physics problems. I mean, he's just an amazing young man. But part of it is because he's had to grasp hold of life in a very defensive way, because in reaction to a brutal and abusing and really hateful father, he's had to do something. In fact, there's this one moment in the movie where he's with his counselors, played by Robin Williams. His name is Sean, who happens to have the same background of a father who really brutalized and abused him. And you're looking at the pictures of Matt Damon when he's a kid and his father has been beating him, and you see the bruises that are left on his body. You realize what he's been through. He tells a story about how his father would come home when he was drunk, and he would say, I would go to my father first and I would provoke him. I would provoke him because I didn't want him to get to my sister and my mom. I would go and I would say, you get me first. And his father would give him a choice. It's either going to be a belt or a ruler, or it's going to be a wrench. And he says, I would take the wrench, because heck with my father, heck with him. He's so angry at his dad. And he would take the beating with a wrench. And you see the pictures in the folder about what he's gone through and how much pain he's felt in that. And you, every time I see that scene, it's overwhelming, because you realize how hurt this young man is, and they portray it so effectively. And there's something about Robin Williams, who's gone through it too. You know, he's also been a victim of that kind of hurt. And there's this incredible time in that where he's looking at Matt Damon, and he says, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Matt Damon's still being tough, though.
Oh, I know.
It's all left-brained for him at that point. That's how he's won. He's had to figure it out on his own. He says, I know it's not my fault. No, it's not your fault. He looks him in the eye and he says, it's not your fault. You don't understand. It's not your fault. And the incredible thing is that the love of Robin Williams, Sean, who's become a healer, he's a wounded healer, you know, the love of Sean begins to penetrate to the place of anger and pride, and helps young Matt Damon become present to his own pain. Present to his pain in the midst of love. This sort of touches on the theme that I was teaching on last week. He comes in to the light of love. It's obviously not a Christian movie, but it's an expression of a Christian principle. And what I want to say to us, brothers and sisters, what I want to say to everybody who's part of the sphere of the mission that we're supposed to do in this church, is come into the light of Christ's love. Come very close. Get as close as you can, heart to heart, to the light of Christ's love. Lean your head into his breast of love. Let him speak to you in the place of your suffering, in the place of your determination to run your life on your own and your own strength, which is really just a defense, because the heck with who did this to me or whatever, right? Let the light of Christ's love. Don't wait to come into the light of Christ's love. Don't wait any longer. If you've gone away from the light of Christ's love, come back now to the light of Christ's love. And then never wander. Walk in the light of Christ's love. Get really close. Lean into it. Long for it. Don't stand apart from it. Our passage in Romans 13 this morning, which we'll touch on just a little bit. It's not going to be a real expository sermon. Paul's been just trying to appeal to the Romans for a long time. He's using all this different language to say, you're over here, step back into the love. Step back into the light. You're wearing the clothing, so to speak, of revenge. I want you to dip into the clothing of Christ's love. He's using all these different metaphors to say, please, 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 please come back in to the light. In fact, the metaphor he's using here, he even says, this is how you do battle. When you put this on, what I'm talking about, and you come heart to heart, when you put on the clothing of Jesus, it's like wearing the armor of light. And you do battle. It's an instrument of conquering evil and sin and the world and everything that has come against you in your suffering, in the ways that you've been hurt. This is how you do it. As you put on the love of Christ, which is the armor of light as he's describing it. He's been talking about love, the very top of, if you look inside your bulletin, the very first paragraph. This is about love. This is the fulfillment of everything. You've been maybe missing life. You've been orienting your life the wrong way, but love is everything, receiving that heart to heart and then sharing that heart to heart with one another, even as Robin Williams' character sort of shared that with Matt Damon. So what can we do to come back into it? Well, the first thing I want to say, sort of playing off the theme of light, is that one of the things that happens is you do kind of hide away, don't you? When you remain stuck in a place of defense and anger and pride, you are really hiding. You're not really there. I'm going to solve this on my own. And you're really gripping really tightly life. And that's when it starts to slip out from your fingers. And pretty soon you will bottom out. So One of the themes of Scripture again and again is that everything begins with light. At the very beginning of the Old Testament, creation starts with light. John, in his gospel, talks about Jesus as being the light, which is the life of all humanity, the light. And Paul is saying, I want you to wear that light. And one of the things that he uses as a theme again and again is darkness versus light. What's darkness? It's when we're caught in the grip of pride and we're gripping as if we can solve it and fix it on our own. And that's darkness. It's actually obscuring light. It's keeping ourselves hidden away from light. We're actually under shades and darkness and we're blocked from light. Whenever we sin, we're actually not acting in a loving way. He talks about two different kinds of sins in general, and I don't even have time to get into it. But it's the sins that say, I'm going to comfort my pain by, oh, how about, I'm going to eat lots of ice cream. Talked about beeps last week a little bit. Things that you can use in an addictive way and indulge. That's one way that you can try and cope with your darkness. It just keeps you in the dark, though. And the other way would be like, hey, somebody came against me. This is more Matt Damon's character. I'm going to make sure that never happens again. And I'm going to make anybody pay who even looks remotely like that. And I'm going to come against them in anger. Or I'm going to be jealous of anybody who seems like they've got it together and I don't. So it's more of a coming against. I think those are the two things that we tend to do when we're in the darkness. That's not living in the light. It's not being loving, obviously. So what do you do? Well, one of the classic ways to come back into the light is to just throw open the doors and the shades and everything, and we do that by confession. That's the main way we do it. The ultimate confession is not even that we're sinning in reaction to sins against us. We've been talking a lot about that. Matt Damon's character, very angry in reaction to how horribly he was sinned against by his father. But it's not just confessing our sins. It's actually confessing how weak we really are and how vulnerable we really are and how much help we really need. When Paul says the salvation is very near you, what he's saying is that right now, the healing that you really need, it's very close. And one of the first things you need to do is admit, I need healing. I am weak and I need healing. It's that close. It's just by beginning to say, I need healing. I need to be forgiven for my reactive sin, and I need healing for the sins that I have done against others. He compares it to nailing it to the cross. That's really the kind of a metaphor that he's using when he's using so many different metaphors. Nail those sins to the cross. Reckon yourself as dead to those sins. Paul uses so many different metaphors, but the way that we specifically do it is by confession. Let me say how hard that is. I was talking to a friend this week about, man, I just wish people would be willing to get vulnerable with one another. And then it just suddenly hit me. It's like, man, I need to go see Father Patrick because I need to be vulnerable with him right now. Because I was struggling in pain, my own reactive self. So I met with Father Patrick and he just communicated so much grace to me and so much mercy. But, you know, naming the things that you're ashamed of, right? The sins that, and I don't, it could be anything, but actually naming those things. And especially when you're actually in the midst of them and thinking, I just want to keep on taking care of myself. I do a lot of Netflix defense, you know? And I think a lot of us do because life doesn't make sense. You watch a story online, it makes sense. In 45 minutes, you get coherence. And that is a defense. I mean, it releases a little bit of like dopamine, you know, and that feels good, but it's not what I really need. I really need is in my pain and in my suffering, even in my sin and reaction to it, I need to be in relationship in that need. How frightening is that to really expose your need to another person? It is really frightening to really do it in the midst of your pain. When you're so convinced that somebody else is the problem, if you're angry, or you're so convinced that I can just take care of it by myself, it's really difficult to do that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but in your hearts, how many of us actually live a confessional life? Make it as a discipline to confess the things that you actually are really convicted of that are keeping you from a free-flowing experience of God's love and light in your life. You're living in a place of darkness and unfreedom, and you haven't put on the armor of light. This is how we do battle. This is how we kill those things that are keeping us in the darkness. This is how we nail those sins, is partly by confessing it, bringing it back into the light, which is what we do when we confess, is we ourselves become completely exposed to the light once again. We puncture shame when we do that, by the way, which is the main reason I don't make confession to a brother or sister or to Father Patrick, who's my main guy for this. It's shame. I'd rather remain in obscurity and pretend that I can handle this on my own. And so it just leads to more stumbling again and again. So I think my first thing for you is, like, brothers and sisters, live in the light and first come back to it, right? Come back to the light. The reason I say this is heart to heart is because this is such an intimate reality. I'm talking about exposing the intimate places of your heart to another person, which often get attached to things that you're ashamed of. This is difficult. The very thing that you least want to share and expose to the light is probably the very thing that you need to make a regular practice of confessing, so that you can be in the light and living in that freedom. You don't have to do it to me. You don't have to do it to a priest. You just need to live this way and have somebody minister that light, that love. I mean, when Father Patrick ministers light back to my heart in forgiveness, I actually feel like I'm human again. I actually feel freedom. I actually feel peace. I feel alive in a way that I haven't felt. But I also trust him greatly. And he communicates the same kind of love that I was describing with Robin Williams. He's somebody who was broken himself and is broken. He knows how much he needs mercy. And so he's very, very compassionate about sharing that same mercy with me. And so I'm so grateful for Father Patrick because of that, because he communicates this love of Christ, this light that scatters my darkness. The second thing is that is to stop the pattern of grasping. I think a lot of what Paul is dealing with, he's trying to get people to get out of things like the different kinds of sexual immorality, the gluttony, the anger, the rancor, the factiousness, all these different ways he talks about that keep us separate from God and from one another and stuck. And he says, you need to stop that and let go, in a way, of that. Come into a different way of being. Let go of that way of being. I've been using that image a lot of let go. It's one of his favorite expressions from Philippians, is that Jesus even doesn't grasp at who he actually is, which is the Son of God. He lets go because he is. He actually is so enjoying who he is that he doesn't have to grasp on it, and he fully is who he is. There's that paradox. When you actually start to let go of grasping who you are, you become who you are. When you actually stop keeping to yourself who you are and making yourself who you think you ought to be, you can actually be who you are by sharing with other people. It's a strange paradox. I don't even know if you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to communicate something that you only really know by experience. When you stop grasping, stop insisting on trying to make it work for yourself, you actually become who you are. And one of the main ways that I like to describe this is this, just to say, stop pretending. It's similar to making the confession of sin. Stop pretending that you're okay when you're not okay. We call that hypocrisy, by the way. Jesus talks a lot about this. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm completely living the Christian life. No. Don't pretend. That's a kind of a grasping, too. A kind of a grasping where you're looking for others to recognize that you've got it together pretty well. Just stop pretending, stop grasping, and open back up again. I think a lot about John. These days, you're going to hear in the next year, we're actually going to unpack a theme of a heart-to-heart way of living in John's gospel. John was, I think I've mentioned this before, he was somebody who was on the one hand ambitious, so he had that hungry kind of like, I'm going to build myself through ambition. I want a seat right at your right hand in the coming kingdom, him and his brother James, right? And then the other thing that he did was he was a pretty angry person. Hey, they're not accepting your testimony here in Samaria. How about we call down thunder and lightning? Anger. He's doing both, right? And actually, what happens with John is he stops that. He stops it. He stops pretending that, because Jesus is teaching him, like, don't do it. Don't grasp that way. Don't pretend that you can actually achieve that. And stop being angry. You don't know what spirit you're about, is what he says to John. It's different. The real Holy Spirit way of life is different. And John begins to let go of it. He does it primarily, by the way, by leaning into the heart of the Lord. That's the image he uses, heart to heart. And so slowly but surely, that light penetrates his heart, and he lives there even. That becomes his home. I guess what I want to say for all of us is that when you stop pretending, it's you're being vulnerable, and you're actually getting close enough to somebody, back to intimacy, to God in particular, but it's probably going to be through a brother or a sister as well, where you can actually hear the heartbeat. You're that close. You stop pretending, and you actually lean into somebody else's strength because you're willing to admit that you're weak. There's no freedom greater than realizing how dependent you are, and this is why Paul boasts in his weakness. He boasts in it because then he has the divine strength. That's another way that he puts it in one of his other passages. So this is what I would just say is like, stop grasping. Let go of your grasping. Oh, by the way, let me be really practical here. One of the main ways we grasp is by we never let go of these devices. I want to swear. Because we're grasping life. What are we doing? We're grasping every answer to every question that we think we need right in the moment. It undermines prayer and dependency upon God. It really does, friends. This is a serious idol in our culture. The device when we let it interfere with our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, it is an idol we are grasping. It is our attempt to grasp power through a device. Father Patrick, he was talking to me, and I thought, I don't know if that's a real etymology, Father, but he said, D-E-vice. It's a vice. My Latin scholar friend is especially laughing. So let's let go. Let's let go and instead just lean in, right? That was my second point. And then the last one is to lean into his love, really to lean into the Lord's love. You know, if you're going to let go of that device, which is a constant stream of information and stimulation and emotional satisfaction, or if it's Netflix, cohesion, when you feel like your life is chaotic, when you actually start to let go, you want to lean into something. And I think this is going to be the hardest thing, in a sense. It's very relational, but it's also very immersive to actually live in a space where you're in constant connection with Jesus, the way he was with the Father, in constant communication in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, really living there, really living all the time, leaning into the heart of the Lord, and doing that through a constant communication, a receiving of love and a giving of love, a receiving of love and a giving of love, leaning into that. That's really our atmosphere of life. He uses themes of light and darkness. I've been talking about this, and I've thought about that, especially with the howling of the moon that I began with, but now in all the hurricanes that are going on. And you realize how much of the atmosphere of our world, the weather system of the globe, is affected by things like the sun and the moon. I mean, the tides are affected, right? I actually have this theory in my mind that part of the reason my dear brother John, had seizures this week is somehow connected to that. I'm not a doctor, but I have just this thought, like, we're really affected by the sun and the effect of light and reflection and the moon and how it affects the tides and how, you know, the global warming thing, whether or not it's man-made or not. I mean, I'm not going to get into that, but we know we're affected by the weather. We know it. And we have the opportunity not to live in the weather of darkness, in the way of darkness, but to live in the way of light. And we do that by leaning heavily into love, into his presence. And it really needs to be the entire atmosphere of our lives. The reason this is hard, partly, is because we don't read the scriptures. We actually don't live in the scriptures. We don't read the Psalms. We don't live the songbook of the soul. That's what the Psalms are. Jesus, after I think it's Isaiah, the number one thing he quotes and I believe sings often, even from the cross, Psalm 22, is a song of the Psalms. Do you live in this atmosphere? Have you so leaned into his love that you sing that love song with your life? I know I've said this to you before. Tonight, we're going to talk about it a little bit more. How do we build our lives on these words? How do we live in that atmosphere? How do we lean into the love that really are words of life? John, at the end of his life, his disciples, you know, he lived a long time. He lived longer than any of the other disciples. All the others had been martyred and gone for a long time. So quite a bit after the revelation had been given to him, he's with his disciples, and he's in his old age, and some of you have heard the story, it's a famous story. And his disciples would say, John, give us a parting word. Give us like a word that we can hold on to for the rest of our lives after you're gone. And he says, my little children love one another. And then he says it again, my little children love one another. And they're like, is that all? I mean, my goodness, you gave us the revelation. There was a lot of stuff in there about trumpets and plagues and all kinds of cataclysmic stuff. I thought you were going to give us a really big, great, exciting word right now. And what? Is that all? And John says, it's the command of the Lord. It's enough. I'm sure he was remembering by the gift of the Spirit, the very last command that the Lord had given him about loving one another. He was also remembering, too, of course, that you can't love if you haven't first been loved. We've been talking a lot about that. He was the beloved disciple. He knew that. But he says, my little children, love one another. It's enough. It's so much enough you don't have to grasp. It's so much enough you can be safe to make your confession. It's so much enough that you can stay at that place of his heart, which is an eternal fountain of love, and it's enough. It will slake your thirst. Are you thirsty for that? It will slake your thirst. Are you thirsty for that? Because it alone is enough. Lord Jesus, Lord, we are seeking you this year for a heart-to-heart transfusion of love. Lord, we're seeking to come out of the shadows with our entire selves and to stop pretending and to draw upon your love and to be loving to one another. Lord, I pray that you would answer this prayer for us. I pray that this would be a place that is so shining with the light of Christ's love that people would be drawn here, and that this place would be one of those places where people actually are real and authentic, and you can have a face-to-face, intimate relationship with you and with one another, that people will hear about it and know about it because it's funded and fueled and alive with your love. Lord, we want to take our whole hearts out of the realm of pride and darkness and bring them into the realm of mercy and love and light. Even today, as we pray, as we come to confession, as we come to your table, and we pray this in your holy name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.